SPP Regional State Committee Briefs, August 4, 2025, written by Tom Kleckner, and read by an automated voice. Kansas City SPP state regulators have approved a policy that establishes criteria for developing joint transmission projects with other RTOs to cost-effectively address persistent market-to-market congestion. SPP intends to use the targeted market efficiency projects to resolve M2M congestion that has resulted in millions of dollars of charges on its seam with MISO. SPP's neighbor already uses TMEPs on its PJM seam. The cost of each project would be allocated between SPP and MISO based on the ratio of historical congestion costs, adjusted for M2M settlement effects. The interregional cost allocation would be recovered through the region-wide annual transmission review requirements. Louisiana and Texas voted against the policy over cost allocation concerns during the SPP Regional State Committee's August 4 meeting. Attorney Dana Shelton, proxy for Louisiana Public Service Commissioner Mike Francis, expressed concern about the allocation on a region-wide basis in the absence of showing a region-wide benefit. Minnesota Public Utilities Commissioner John Tuma questioned the reluctance to talk about market efficiencies, saying TMEPs will benefit only SPP's ratepayers. "This concept is about creating market-to-market benefits for our ratepayers. I think exploring it is only in our best interest at this stage," he said. "Minnesota has joined this organization because we are one of those seams organizations, and we do see the benefit of these M2M efforts. Is this a big one? No, but it's the kind of thing that will help us out in the long run." The TMEPs would apply only to M2M flow gates along the MISO seam with a minimum of at least $1 million in historical congestion costs. Staff are proposing a $20 million project cap with an in-service time frame of 3 years and a 4-year payback of avoided congestion costs. SPP's Clint Savoy told the RSE that RTO staff is trying to filter the list of constraints they want to fix as part of the biennial joint system study with MISO. He said staff will use historical market data to find operating days when constraints bound in the day-ahead market. "They will calculate the production cost for the entire market, remove the constraint, and rerun the production cost analysis. The change in production cost is essentially the benefit that SPP receives, so it's a reduction in the production cost for the market as a whole," Savoy said. The committee agreed with staff's recommendation to stop moving a tariff change that allocates costs of seams projects outside the FERC Order 1000 interregional process. Instead, it remanded the issue back to the Cost Allocation Working Group to address stakeholder concerns and asked it to provide an update during the RSC's November meeting. The Markets and Operations Policy Committee rejected the proposal during its July meeting with only 54.9% approval. Members were uncomfortable about whether the projects would be subject to the grid operator's competitive process screening. The RSC also granted COG's request to delay the annual stakeholder review of the Safe Harbor Limit, which sets designated resources eligibility for base plan funding at costs less than or equal to $180,000/megawatts. The working group said the delay was necessary because of significant changes in SPP processes. Bylaw change for Western RTO. The RSC approved an amendment to its bylaws that will allow Western commissioners to join the committee upon the RTO's expansion into the West in 2026. The expansion will make the Arizona, Colorado, and Utah commissions eligible to add representatives to the committee. Commissioners will be able to vote on proposed policy or tariff changes and other matters only if the proposal applies to the interconnection where their state is located. As Nebraska, New Mexico, and South Dakota straddle both interconnections, those states will be limited to one vote if the proposal applies to both regions. The Western commissioners will be eligible to join the RSC after April 1, 2026, when the RTO expansion goes live. Staff said vendors are successfully building and testing market systems, with member testing to begin in September. Three Western commissioners sat in on the meetings: Arizona's Kevin Thompson, New Mexico's Greg Nibbert, and Wyoming's Mike Robinson. Missouri's Glenn Kolkmayer also was a guest, although his chair, Kayla Hahn, represents the state on the RSC. The committee also endorsed a three-person nominating committee consisting of RSC President Patrick O'Connell, South Dakota's Christy Feagan, and Tuma that will recommend the 2026 leadership during the November meeting. It also approved a 2026 budget that passes $1 million for the first time by including an extra $500,000 for consulting services and making allowances for increased membership. Employee number 3 speaks out. Bruce Rue, who recently announced his pending retirement from SPP as Senior Vice President of Operations, was greeted with a round of applause before one of his last updates during the joint stakeholder briefing following the RSC meeting. Bruce reminds us he was employee number 3. "I am not sure 1 and 2 are still alive, but Bruce has had a remarkable career at SPP," Board Vice Chair Ray Hepper said, teasing the 35-year veteran. So this may be among your last opportunities to really chew on Bruce in a board meeting. Bruce at SPP has issued only one resource advisory thus far in 2025, which lasted 2 days in April, compared with five in 2024. During that period, demand peaked for the year at 56.6 gigawatts, about 1,500 megawatts below the all-time high. Despite the demand but with negative LMPs, staff were able to export almost 5 gigawatts of energy to MISO and PJM June 25-26 when the RTO's solar power vanished during the evening hours. As we gain more and more solar, that's something that we're going to continue to manage operationally to make sure that we're prepared for that as well, Ruse said. We potentially could have that same experience if we get 5 or 10,000 megawatts of solar. It will be a while yet. The grid operator recently added its first gigawatt of solar capacity, complementing its 35.6 gigawatts of wind capacity. It has added more than 3 gigawatts of capacity in the past year, pushing its registered capacity past 100 gigawatts. SPP has published a report on the April 26 load shed event near Shreveport, Louisiana, one of three in the footprint this year. The report analyzes the event, identifies the main causes, examines SPP's response and provides recommendations and improvements to prevent similar incidents in the future. SPP lays out market principles. Kerry Simpson, SPP Vice President of Markets, followed Rue to the podium and discussed the priorities for market design changes set in a staff white paper that is circulating: price discovery and transparency, economic efficiency, reliability effectiveness and system performance. Referencing the 5 gigawatts of exports to MISO and SPP, Simpson called it the result of a healthy seam. It's a good indication that our pricing was supporting the rest of the interconnection, because people were able to buy from us and sell into MISO and PJM, she said. Had these exports not occurred, our LMPs would have been significantly even lower because we would have had to back down in more generation. And so just a good indication of the market working well and the signals being available to participants to take action and move power where it was needed or more efficiently needed in the interconnection.